Well, Dennis's son and daughter, Philip, and then Jean are going to come now and pay some words of tribute to their father. Thanks, Philip.
Good morning, and thank you all for coming today. As most of you will know, my dad went through the most horrible illness, Alzheimer's disease. He had this for the best part of a decade, and it gradually robbed him of his normal personality, thoughts, and memories. It was a roller coaster ride of emotions for us observing as a family. There were lucid days that gave us hope, and there were dark days that gave us despair. He is now released from the turmoil he suffered during the time this illness progressed in him. As most of you will also know, Dad was a man of strong faith, which manifested itself clearly at various times throughout his illness, right up until the very end. He was sustained in the love of God and believed firmly, with joy, in the promise of the gospel and of what lay ahead for him when he would finally be called away. Many of the church folk here, Pastor Steve, elders, congregation, offer prayer and support along the way, which is very, very much appreciated by the family. Dad grew up in East Belfast, a twin brother of Derek, and a child in a family of 8 siblings. He learned how to stretch or starve. He exhibited great resilience and determination after contracting polio as a boy during a period of wartime evacuation to Kate's Bridge. Doctors back then set his left leg in plaster as a treatment. He soon realized that the plaster cast wasn't doing anything for him at all and decided to remove it himself, just in time before his leg had withered away completely. So remarkably, as a young boy, he was still left able to walk, albeit with a permanent limp. With a great strength of character, he was determined not to let this hold him back. Dad returned to Belfast and attended Technical College before spending a period working at Shorts, making aircraft models. He had a real practical ability and carried out small joinery jobs in the neighbourhood. One day, he needed a lock for his toolbox, which led him to Guidies on the Woodstock Road. He was served by the owner's daughter, a beautiful young woman called Maureen, my mother. After that, he seemed to visit Guidies a lot for various bits and pieces. Word got about that Dad was looking for small jobs in the area at the same time that the Guidie family were thinking about building a garage to their home. Well, Dad went along to see them and got the job. Possibly Maureen had persuaded her parents that this handsome young man was the man to build a new garage for them. I'm not sure if Dad had bitten off more than he could chew with the garage, but he didn't turn down the opportunity. The story goes that the roof of the garage fell during the construction, and my dad laughed, much to the consternation of Mr. Gowdy. I think that Mrs. Gowdy thought that my dad was a nice young man, though, and things were patched up, and he left a good job in the end, and the rest, as they say, is history. After a short courtship, Maureen and Dennis, mum and dad, were married by Pastor Hugh Orr in this very church more than 60 years ago. When I arrived and my sister Jean followed 18 months later, their young family was complete. Dad was married relatively young at 24, but he took married life seriously. He got himself a teaching job at Dunlambert Secondary School, a new school in Belfast. He worked hard and took on extra night classes to provide for his young family. He was always generous in his provision and never let us down. He was proud of his family, and Jean and I didn't want for anything, experiencing love and stability in a warm and caring home. Both he and Mum taught us moral values and a sense of fairness. Jean and I grew up in this church, and I have good memories of forging friendships with other families, and particularly the McKillans, with whom we shared many a summer holiday, with Dad driving us to the continent along with them. In the days before SatNav, my dad drove heroically through many European capitals with the caravan on tow, to the often late directions of my mum and grandfather with their basic map reading skills. It makes me laugh now just remembering all the wrong roads we took and having to do a U-turn with the caravan. We shared navigational responsibilities with the McKillans. Dad was always relieved when they got it wrong too. Although, to be fair, I think they were maybe a little bit better than us. By this time, my grandfather, Mr. Gowdy, was living with us. When my granny had died, he must have been with us for 15 years. Obvious conflict could have arisen with another male figure in the household when young children were growing up. My dad handled this arrangement with good grace and never displayed any sense of resentment. I remember my childhood as having been very happy. When Jean and I went our own separate ways, pursuing our individual careers in teaching and architecture, respectively, Dad always offered vital encouragement, but never steered. You knew he would be there to help if required. When I went on to have three children of my own, Chloe, Simon, and Justin, Dad enjoyed being a grandfather. He was always kind and generous and helped his grandchildren, particularly latterly when they themselves embarked on their own separate paths. When Chloe and Simon moved away, Dad helped them. He helped Justin also. And as Justin remained at home, Dad and he enjoyed a special closeness right until the day he died. And Justin was there with him too. Dad's final retirement years were spent industriously, carrying out a number of different building projects. He was indulging his passion to build and improve. At this point, I suddenly realized why he had given me such encouragement to become an architect. I was starting to become useful to him. He worked at this enthusiastically until his illness gradually took his ability and he could do it no more. When I look back at his life in preparation of this tribute, I have recognized so many of his good qualities, so many, indeed, many of which I had forgotten. Like us all, he had his shortcomings, but essentially he was a kind and good and devoted man. More importantly to me personally, he was a great father, the best a son could hope for. He has lived a good and honorable life. He has finished the race. In his last few weeks in hospital, I got to visit him regularly. On my own, early morning, sometimes when he was at his brightest and most alert, we held hands. I heard him tell me that he loved me, and I was able to tell him that I loved him too. On his final day, we, all our immediate family, were gathered with him to say goodbye. We knew for sure that he was with us too. Gesturing only with his eyebrows, right until he closed his eyes. We are going to miss you, Dad.